information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
On
the law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go up with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
If you don't become an actor, you'll never be a factor. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 211 from Media Monarchy. It's March 25th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, the most jam-packed 2 hours in alternative radio, Lupe, Liz, and Liberal LimeWire, the occult history of World War and kinetic military action, news purge doves, drugs and drills, insolvency, Fed fix and recovery opportunity, Japan culture, crowdsourcing and quake crisis, plus all the other latest alt media from Ground Zero, Holy Hexes, Cyberspace War, and Food World Order. It's all here, March 25th, episode 211 from MediaMonarchy.com.
Your bullshit, just a poor excuse for you to use up all your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7, did they really pull it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place. That's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see is a bunch of what the fucks. Dude is dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such. And that ain't Jersey Shore. Homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposedly telling us the truth. Limbo is a racist. Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed. Obama didn't say shit. That's why I ain't vote for next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful. And I believe in the people. Yeah!
It's a lie.
Never heard it, but if we know better, then we probably deserve it. Jihad is not holy war. Where's that in the worship? Murdering is not Islam, and you are not observant. And you are not a Muslim. Israel, don't take my side, cause look at how you push them. Walk with me into the ghetto, this where all the kush went. Complain about the liquor store, but what you drinking liquor for? Complain about the gloom, but when you pick a broom up, just listen in the pot, ain't gon' make it stop. A rebel in your doubts, ain't gon' make it out. If you don't become an actor, you'll never be a factor. Pills for million side effects, take them when the pain's felt. Wash them down with diet soda, killing off your brain cells. Crooked banks around the world, we're glad to give a loan today, so if you ever miss a payment, they can take your home away.
worse than all the violence. Fear is such a weak emotion, that's why I despise it. We scared of almost everything, afraid to even tell the truth. So scared of what you think of me, I'm scared of even telling you. Sometimes I'm like the only person I feel safe to tell it to. I'm locked inside a cell in me, I know that there's a gel in you. Consider this your belling out, so take a breath and hell a few. My screams is finally getting free, my thoughts is finally yelling down.
Words I Never Said. That is from the number one record in America as we speak. The album is called Lasers, and that was Lupe Fiasco. And this is episode 211 of Media Monarchy. It's the 25th of March, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. There you go. It, I guess, gives me a little bit of heartening feeling that something like that's the number one record in the country. Pretty much touching every topic. And that's something we always try and reference. We see our artists throughout all time being able to describe the situation in a way that nothing else quite can. And I'd love to wax rhapsodic about that, but we have so much to go over on another important episode. You know, massive shifts are afoot wherever you are, and welcome to wherever you are in the world, however you're receiving this transmission. We welcome you with open arms. Broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And a huge thanks to the stations that simulcast this show live, zeropointradio.com. And they send it out terrestrially. Hello, Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM. Huge thanks. We also have the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net, and all the other sites that syndicate, rebroadcast, and help spread the word about this site. Too many to go over here now, but we want to shine a light to radio23.org, and of course, tragedyandhope.com. We're on all the social networks. We at least set up accounts if we don't use them all that much. But of course, if you want to be seen and heard, you got to be on Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, YouTube.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter.com/Media Monarchy. You get the idea. In the last few weeks, our Twitter feed has exploded, and I won't go on and on about that either. But if you find independent, non-commercial, non-corporate connected media, if it enriches your life, and that's the question I think you should ask about any of the art or entertainment or information that you consume. If you find this valuable, please hit the donate button. Your support helps keep this going. Paying for the DJ dues, the domain names, Skype credit, all of those things. And again, we're not trying to make a mint off of this. We just like to break even and grow and be able to expand. Oh, good God, it's a jam-packed show, and it'll be a miracle if we can make it through all of the media I have lined up on the plate. We glance at the breaking news again. It's 10:10 a.m. Pacific time, March 25th, 2011. CNN International status report, reactor by reactor. at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Meanwhile, Syrian security forces fire on protesters. And back here in the North American Union, Pew Research Center reporting, as well many others, Hispanics now account for more than half of nation's growth in the past decade, and we've seen a bit of the census data spilling out. But yes, the top stories, Elizabeth Taylor and nuclear power, my friends. But since we began with that track from Lupe Fiasco, that's where we'll begin. And again, my main goal is to, one, give you a massive overview with a lot of data points and a lot of paths and clues and links for you to go do your own research. And the way I've built out the show begins from here. And yes, we will get to what are, of course, obviously, the much more catastrophically important situations in Japan and Libya and beyond. But this is the way I've built the show, and here we go. Lupe Fiasco track questions WTC7 collapse album tops Billboard charts. Reporting from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, AE911Truth.org, Atlantic Records rap star Lupe Fiasco calls the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7 into question on his new album Lasers, released March 8th. In the song we just heard, Words I Never Said, the new radio single, second single off Lasers, he asks, 9/11 Building 7, did they really pull it? It was one of the three songs selected as singles by Atlantic Records to promote the record. Lupe's third official release and first in which he specifically questions the government's version of events on 9/11 with reference to ignored evidence. It's noted this video could be huge, his biggest ever, and even in the new issue of Spin, they run a review and say that he even mentions 9/11 conspiracy theories. So let's get our related 9/11 updates. Of course, new videos from the International Center for 9/11 Studies, 911blogger.com, reporting on that. Their massive, massive data collection from NIST. Dozens and dozens and dozens of gigs worth of data that amateur and independent researchers are pouring through. An interesting note from the Intel Hub, where they had trouble uploading photos to WordPress, the blogger platform. Blocked image upload due to security reasons, which was frightening enough, but it was also discovered that the images trying to be uploaded were Photoshop faked anyway. Missiles painted up to look like American Airlines. And just yesterday, I believe, air controller slept as planes landed in D.C. But meanwhile, your grandma or nephew have to be treated like the slaves that they are in going through the airport. Little people. Meanwhile, former explosives loader for Controlled Demolition Incorporated, that's an actual company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, fairly obvious what they do, and so people who work for them would be fairly knowledgeable about building demolitions. Let's listen to a guy named Tom Sullivan, who used to work for Controlled Demolition Incorporated.
My name's Tom Sullivan. I worked for Controlled Demolition Incorporated, CDI, the top-rated explosive demolition firm in the world, owned by the Loazzo family during the year surrounding 9/11. And I worked for them as an explosives loader for 2.5 years. As an explosives loader, my job was to place explosives in the buildings to prepare them for demolition. I was licensed while in New York by the New York Fire Department to handle explosives. And I worked on major projects such as Seattle Kingdom, the Three River Stadium, Philadelphia Naval Hospital, and key span gas holders in New York, among others. I currently live on the East Coast.
Isn't it true that anybody can implode a building straight down just by placing a bunch of explosives around?
There are many steps that you need to take. The first off is you have to weaken the building, and that's after a lot of studies have gone into how the building is built in the first place. To weaken the building, that means the staircase, all the staircases have to be cut at intervals. The firewalls have to be removed. Elevator shafts have to be cut and the rails cut, as well as the cars themselves removed. Then you have to move to the support columns on the particular load floors. And those are cut by a torch for two reasons. First, to weaken them, and also to allow for charges to be placed onto the structure, or onto the columns themselves. And that essentially reduces their strength by about 20%. And even with all of that work being done to weaken this building, it still remains safely standing, so we can continue to work in it. The story that just a few columns can cause a synchronized global collapse, an implosion, is, well, that's just nonsense.
Our last 9/11 update comes from an exchange. John Gold, longtime 9/11 activist, researcher, survivor. On 911truthnews.com, he details and shows a recent exchange he had with Matt Taibbi, who you may know as being the writer and the coiner of the phrase, the great vampire squid, that is Goldman Sachs, who has done such great work on exposing the new financial world order, has a huge blind spot when it comes to the official story of 9/11. John Gold gets Matt Taibbi to admit, of course, we've been lied to about 9/11. Now, in a strange way, because this is still built off the post about Lupe Fiasco track questions WTC7 collapse, we would file that all under our media memes. So, our related media memes and updates. Legendary Oscar winner and AIDS activist Elizabeth Taylor dies at the age of 79.
Miss Elizabeth Taylor, Academy Award-winning actress and AIDS activist.
Elizabeth Taylor was a film starlet whose screen life was often upstaged by her personal life. Throughout her long career, she won 3 Oscars, including a special one for her humanitarian work. She was tortured by illness, failed romances, and personal tragedy. Her 8 marriages and turbulent personal life were well chronicled.
Much like riding a fairy horse.
Taylor, who was born in London, became a star at age 12 with the release of her film National Velvet. She married and divorced at 18, became a screen goddess at 19, and a widow at 26.
Did he tell you about his wife?
Taylor appeared in more than 50 films. Her performances in Butterfield 8,
I'm Loud, and I'm Vulgar,
and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf won her Academy Awards.
And I find what you're wearing most becoming.
Her most famous marriages and divorces were to the same person, actor Richard Burton. She had a number of longtime famous friendships as well. Her close friendship with Michael Jackson came back into the limelight after the pop singer's death in 2009. She remained close with National Velvet co-star Mickey Rooney and fellow actor Roddy McDowall.
Men stuff. Lord have mercy.
She was also very close with Rock Hudson, who died of AIDS. In later years, she championed several causes, including AIDS research.
That's for M for.
It was her charity work that earned her the Humanitarian Oscar in 1993. In 2000, Queen Elizabeth named Taylor a dame, the female equivalent of a knight for Taylor's charity work. When she turned 50, Taylor reflected to her reporter, I don't entirely approve of some of the things I have done, or am, or have been. She added, but I'm me. God knows, I'm me. Laurie Neff, The Associated Press.
Elizabeth Taylor, screen legend, dies at 79, and we will have a little bit more on Elizabeth Taylor's mysterious Jewish conversion coming soon on holyhexes.com. But here we do have other links. Of course, there's no shortage of ink and tributes. We have links to Raw Story and Raw Replay, and even a tribute that ran on Turner Classic Movies from the late Paul Newman to the now late Elizabeth Taylor. Meanwhile, Cinema Verite pioneer Richard Leacock, cinematographer on the amazing JFK documentary called Primary, passed away at the age of 89. Ferlin Husky, a country music Hall of Famer, dies at the age of 85, and we'll listen to a track from Ferlin Husky a little bit later on in the show. Joe Willie Pine Top Perkins, blues legend, dies at the age of 97. Meanwhile, from HotHardware.com, record labels claim LimeWire, the file sharing site, liable for $75 trillion in damages. So, just a nice little comparative figure for you. The U.S. total household income, 2010, estimated, is $5.7 trillion. U.S. national debt, $14.25 trillion. The world gross domestic product, $65 trillion. And the LimeWire liable for damages, $75 trillion. They better start a Kickstarter now. Meanwhile, an op-ed on KansasCity.com, NPR shouldn't be on the public dole, and we don't have time to get into all the other related things about what we should fund and what we shouldn't. In a perfect world, everybody would be fed, and none of these other little small things would be any big deal. But of course, we have to print money out of thin air, making you and your offspring slaves, debt slaves. As the drugs run and the guns run and illegal wars of aggression abroad, of wars over resources. We're nonpartisan here. We don't buy into the phony left-right paradigm. But we close out our related media meme updates with a story from the Washington Post, and we even have the video of Fox News covering the story concerning them. Media Matters boot camp readies liberal policy wonks for their camera close-up. Media Matters being the foundation-funded left gatekeeper outlet. They're running a boot camp training people how to fight Fox News in this phony Orwellian system of these fake political paradigms. Funded and operated and misdirected so that the same agenda rolls forward. You can change out the faces. Doesn't matter. Those are the fundamental things we're going to have to get to. So our related alternative media, we mentioned for you, unfortunately, last week that KUFO 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon, has now been switched by its parent corporation, Alpha Broadcasting, into a simulcast of one of the AM talk stations filled with fake conservatives like Lars Larson from right here in Portland and Glenn Beck and all the other phony reactionary right talking heads. My man Clyde Lewis is now without a show, so he needs your support now more than ever. GroundZeroMedia.org. He does have a new article called Cirque de Parsimonia. And we also have linked up his message on the future of Ground Zero. And there are links and phone numbers and email addresses that you can write Alpha Broadcasting. Try and get them to bring back Ground Zero, which was the number one show in its time slot. And I did it, and it was easy, and I tweeted about it. 503-517-6000 called up Alpha Broadcasting Sunday night when I would have been listening to Ground Zero Live and said, hey, I would be listening to your station right now, but I'm not. Bring back Clyde. Our other bit of related alternative media from folks that we are proud enough to be affiliated with or connected to in some way, and that's the folks over at TragedyAndHope.com. Episode 21 of the Peace Revolution podcast, PeaceRevolution.org, The Occult History of World War. And this episode is really getting to, I think, what a lot of folks, including myself, really loved about 9/11 Synchronicity, the podcast series from Richard Grove from a few years back. This one is a few hours long and gets into all of the areas that it's all interconnected, as we document here week in, week out. But just a brief perusal of the notes and references and links should whet your appetite to go. Check this episode out. If you are not subscribed to the number one educational podcast on Podomatic, peacerevolution.org, It begins with, of course, the JFK speech to the Newspaper Publishers Association. The Secret Society speech, as it's referred to. But we've got Templars, Jesuits, Illuminati, Anti-Masonic Party, Zionism, Clark Clifford, NSA, as in National Security Act of 1947, the BCCI scandal, George Washington writing letters about the doctrines of the Illuminati, John Quincy Adams talking about Freemasonry, Moses Hess talking about the revival of Israel, and also referencing Hollywood and the War Machine, Real Bad Arabs, Ben Affleck, Bill Maher, Morals and Dogma with Albert Pike, and so many other things. In episode 21 of PeaceRevolution.org, The Occult History of World War. And that, as well as these other posts we're going to briefly mention on some of our other sister sites, are going to set the stage for our latest ritualistic blood sacrifice. We had the supermoon last Saturday, March 19th. And my man Alan in Omaha, one of the main editors over at cyberspacewar.com, has Super Perigee Moon Sunset March 19th, getting into the full moon and lunacy. Why do you think they call it lunacy? We also have posted on holyhexes.com the invasion of Libya on the same day as the invasion of Iraq, the vernal equinox, the spring equinox. So the day that folks were out protesting and demonstrating to mark the 8th anniversary of our illegal war of aggression based on lies into Iraq, based on the official lies of 9/11. The Obamasiah, the Prince of Peace Prize, gave the bombs away order on Libya and then took the wife and kids and headed over to Rio to go play some soccer. That's how they roll. The war on Iraq was declared on March 20th, 2003. Western forces attacked Libya on March 20th, 2011. Is there an occult reason behind this? Both invasions occurred on the eve of the vernal equinox, a date that was and still is extremely significant throughout history. It's the date of the sun's resurrection and was often celebrated with a blood sacrifice to impregnate the earth. Carl Jung noted that it, meaning the vernal equinox, was particularly the sacrifice des premiers, the first fruits of the fields, the first vegetables, the first lambs and other young animals and so on, and the firstborn son, Christ, the Son of God, is also sacrificed at the time of the vernal equinox. This idea of youth being sacrificed was called in Rome the Versacrum, the sacred spring. According to some researchers in Illuminati lore, the spring equinox is considered a minor Sabbath but still requires human sacrifice. March 21st through the 22nd is dedicated goddess Ostara, Ishtar, also spelled Oster, for whom Easter is named. March 21st is one of the Illuminati's human sacrifice nights. Ishtar was the Babylonian goddess of fertility, love, and war. Her name derives from the words for dawn. Is it a coincidence that the name of the military operation in Libya is Operation Odyssey Dawn? Are we looking at another mega ritual? More on that from VigilantCitizen.com. And we get to our main post last Saturday, March 19th, on MediaMonarchy.com. Desperate Western military action against Libya has begun, from Reuters and the Rothschilds. A coalition of the United States and four other nations launched a military action against Libya on Saturday, March 19th, officials said, as the West tries to force Muammar Gaddafi from power. A U.S. official told reporters on condition of anonymity that a coalition including the U.S., France, Britain, Canada, and Italy had begun launching strikes on Libya designed to cripple Muammar Gaddafi's air defenses. At least some Arab nations are expected to join the coalition later, the official said. A second U.S. official, speaking to Reuters on the aforementioned condition of anonymity, said missiles were launched from a warship against Libyan targets. U.S. forces and planes will take part in the operation called Odyssey Dawn that will mainly target air defenses around the Libyan cities of Tripoli and Misrata. some 25 coalition ships, including three U.S. submarines armed with Tomahawk missiles, are stationed in the Mediterranean. Five U.S. surveillance planes are also in the area, according to military slides seen by Reuters. So we added to this post just over the last 24 hours as we start to push the put the finishing move on these episodes. We have all our related geopolitical Obama-Saya Prince of Peace Prize War Whores updates posted below. World War III. One nation at a time. That article is posted on InfoWars and Land Destroyer, and it's another great one from Tony Cartolucci. And Lee Rogers of RogueGovernment.com gets into what we were setting the occult table with. Operation Odyssey Dawn is another ritualistic blood sacrifice by the global elite. The globalists have historically been responsible for pulling off major events on days of important numerical or astrological significance. The current military operation against Libya involving missile strikes and air bombardments from U.S. and European allied forces, dubbed Odyssey Dawn, is no exception. Have you heard about the 40 lipsticked virgins? Gaddafi's guards? His best bet for survival? We just have a piece from AOL News, but this is a fascinating angle if we're talking about fertility and we're talking about rituals. So file that away. Tarpley.net on Obama's Bay of Pigs in Italy. Imperialist aggression shreds the UN Charter. Washington Post on Obama's shift toward military action in Libya. ActivistPost.com, Obama starts another illegal war. Meanwhile, Charles Rangel calls for a draft, as he has been doing for the last 10 years. And as a nice little flashback note, should remember that candidate Obama, speaking on military attacks, said quite correctly, quote, President does not have power under the Constitution. So Raw Story, Raw Replay has the raw video of Obama playing the fiddle, soccer, in Brazil, as the U.S. regime fights three wars, or four, or... It's tough. Have we always been at war with Eurasia? As U.S. regime fights three wars, Obama pushes F-18 fighter jets on Brazil. See, that's the other part. That's the business part of the vacation, going to Rio. Blame it on Rio. Or her name is Rio. She dances on the sand like the goddess Ishtar. Portland, Oregon rallies for peace 8 years after Iraq at Pioneer Courthouse Square. More on that from Examiner.com. Pioneer Courthouse Square, for those of you not here in Portland, of course, was the target of the FBI Patsy tree bomber. And as Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org so many times notes, in our anger at what goes on, he quite correctly points out that we fund these guys. We vote for these idiots. It's a pretty crappy crop. And again, we don't play any of the Patriot games here. We don't cheerlead some hosts and folks and bash others as agents and this and that. You can figure out what's legit for yourself. I can't tell you that. Again, that's, we're all trying to become more media literate. You have to build that savvy on your own. If I can be one small part in that, I'm appreciative. But I digress. We've got two guys who pretty much have a habit of speaking the closest thing to the truth that the people want to hear. The first of which is Denis Kucinich, quite correctly pointing out that this Operation Odyssey Dawn is unconstitutional.
What is this effort going to cost American taxpayers? What does victory in Libya actually look like? Now, we were obviously quick to get in, but could anyone at the White House or on the Hill explain exactly how, and more importantly, when we're going to get out? Now, my next guest called this assault grave and says that it lacks constitutional authority. U.S. Congressman Dennis Kucinich is a Democrat representing the state of Ohio. Welcome so much back to the program, Dennis
Kucinich. Thank you very much.
I want to start with something that then-candidate Obama said back when he was running for office in 2007. He said that the president does not have the power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to this nation. Now, fast forward to March 2011. We went to this war essentially by presidential decree, almost no public debate, hardly any conversations with lawmakers or the people. Is this war legal?
It lacks constitutional authority. The president has no constitutional basis for the order that he gave, sending armed forces into combat over Tripoli.
So if it lacks constitutional authority, should there not be consequences for this?
Well, there are consequences practically, and those consequences are political. Whether Congress wants to cause the president to submit to a process for those consequences is unlikely. But I will say this, though, that we are in a fourth war here, fourth front, because we've got to have to count Pakistan, plus Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, when do these wars end? The United States does not have unlimited power here. We have to be very careful about making it appear that we're looking for opportunities to strike inside Muslim nations. We should be trying to find a way to effect a rapprochement with the Muslim community worldwide, which means getting out of Afghanistan, out of Iraq, out of away from the incursions in Pakistan. That doesn't mean ceding to terrorism. It means you work with the world community on a police action to deal with terrorism. You don't drop bombs, which kill a lot of innocent people.
But the argument that these folks who support this invasion say, well, hey, we have UN approval here. It's a global fight.
Okay. It's good that the UN is involved in security matters, except for one thing. When it comes to the United States, we have a prior process that trumps the UN, and that's called our Constitution, which requires that presidents have to get congressional approval to take our country into war. If the president feels there's an imminent or actual threat to the United States, he can move forward. This threat is the citizens in Libya. That's regrettable. But last I checked, Libya isn't one of our states.
Are you prepared to initiate impeachment procedures?
Well, remember, you know, it's one thing to say that this action is outside the Constitution and raise the question of whether or not such action is a constitutionally impeachable offense. It's another thing to begin the process, which is very chaotic for a nation. But in a sense, we need to begin to describe the limitations on the power of the presidency to stop further abuse of power. And at some point, the United States is going to, the Congress is going to have to move to cut off funds for any action in Libya.
At which point it might, of course, be too late. Now, I have to ask, I mean, you have all of these folks from the left actually saying that this is a just cause, that, you know, we're intervening to prevent some sort of humanitarian crisis. How do you respond to those arguments that this is somehow just, whereas, I don't know, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, other conflicts on
Yemen,
the ground?
Cote d'Ivoire. I mean, you, look, humanitarian war is an oxymoron that needs a little bit more exploring. Bombing villages to save villages. We've been through that in Vietnam.
That was the Democrat, Kucinich. Now let's hear from the Republican who keeps quietly winning all the straw polls pointing to 2012. Meanwhile, Ron Paul says Obama is moving us toward a one-world government.
Tonight on the docket, America's third war. It isn't enough for the president, for the secretary of state, and for the war hawks in Washington that this country is ensnarled in two illegal wars, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, wars that have cost at least $1 trillion, wars that have killed thousands of Americans, and an untold number of foreign innocent civilians. They want more bloodshed. For weeks, Libyan rebels have been fighting to overthrow their brutal dictator, Colonel Gaddafi. Yet all of a sudden, the international community has decided to intervene violently, and the U.S. won't be left behind. President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have led us into a third unethical and non-defensive conflict, this one in Libya. This is unquestionable proof that when it comes to war, there is little difference between Republicans and Democrats. Both parties' leadership are power-hungry and bloodthirsty, as there is no logical, ethical, or reasonable argument, certainly no lawful argument, for our wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Libya. But let's not forget, this action is brazenly unconstitutional. Congress did not declare war on Libya. And what you may not know is that more time was spent at the Constitutional Convention when they wrote it in 1787 debating who or what the new government would initiate rather than on war. On no other topic was discussed more than war. It is clear beyond dispute that the Constitution says only Congress can declare war. And war can only mean the governmental use of military assets for violence. Ask anyone on the ground, even Western journalists, if firing 120 Tomahawk missiles is not an act of war. Only completely perverted logic could conclude that our actions in Iraq and Afghanistan and now Libya are not acts of war that constitutionally require a formal declaration by the Congress. Here now, one of America's strongest critics of wars of opportunity, a true champion of liberty, Texas Republican Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, welcome to Freedom Watch.
Thank you, Judge.
Why would the President of the United States go to the UN Security Council and not the Congress to get approval to wage war in Libya?
I think he philosophically believes in one world government. He wants to keep nudging us in that direction. I don't believe that he has a conviction that national sovereignty has any value. So therefore, if they can diminish the Congress, if he diminishes the Congress and he can get his authority from the United Nations, this enhances what he believes in. But he's not alone. You know, the leadership in both parties have been nudging in that direction for a long time.
And it's that clash of ideals that unfortunately may bring us to a shattered union. Meanwhile, the White House says the Libya fight is not war. It's kinetic military action. Let's see if that phrase catches on. Meanwhile, a UK minister makes a quite extraordinary admission. Libya war could last 30 years. Meanwhile, Germany pulls out of NATO operations. Bolivian President Evo Morales says, take back Obama's peace prize. We have funny Bushian video of Obama getting locked out of the White House. You'll have to watch that yourself. There's no audio for me to play for you, but just another fantastic way of bringing together for all to see the Bush-Obama that we have. And, you know, we have to laugh to not cry sometimes. The only joke I've kind of said in bringing up our new war with folks who hopefully don't want to talk about sports, that it's, you know, I found it really convenient, actually, that our new war of aggression is on the anniversary of one of our previous wars of aggression. It kind of lumps it together. It really makes it easier to keep it all straight. Meanwhile, U.S. chopper shoots six villagers who were welcoming the crashed pilots who ejected out, winning the hearts and minds. Secret Libya psyops caught by online sleuths. More on that from Danger Room. Meanwhile, Salem News out of Oregon reporting on Israel intervening in Libya for Gaddafi. Meanwhile, Obama condemns Jerusalem bombings, and you can insert pot calling kettle joke here. But we have a fantastic bit and an opportunity, and I think as I come to you now, you've still got about 2 days. YouTube apparently has a series, and not like the unstaged series with the Duran Duran concert I saw the other night. They have a series called World View, where they interview world leaders based on questions you submit over YouTube.
You ask, the Israeli Prime Minister answers. Channel 2 News, together with YouTube, gives you the opportunity to broadcast questions to Benjamin Netanyahu.
I urge you to communicate your thoughts and bring forth your questions, and I'll try to help them and to answer them, rather, as best as I can.
Submit your questions by video text to our special channel. You ask, Netanyahu answers.
Yes, I have a question. Why doesn't Israel abide by any of the nuclear non-proliferation treaties, even though the whole world tacitly knows and gives a wink and a nod to the fact that Israel has 200-plus nuclear weapons? Yeah, I'll take your answer off the air. Meanwhile, Richard Falk UN investigator and also 9/11 truth advocate, accuses Israel of ethnic cleansing.
Richard Falk made the remarks to the UN Human Rights Council on Monday.
As the report illustrates, the continued pattern of settlement expansion in East Jerusalem, combined with forceful eviction of long-residing Palestinians, are creating an intolerable situation that can only be described in its cumulative impact as a form of ethnic cleansing.
He also noted that the blockade of Gaza continues to violate Palestinians' human rights. The council is prepared to pass a resolution condemning continued Israeli settlement building on Palestinian territory it has occupied since 1967.
Meanwhile, from the CBC, ex-Israeli President Katzav sentenced to 7 years in prison for sex crimes. Meanwhile, the ex-Ukrainian president charged in the 2000 murder of a journalist. More on that from VOA News. BBC World Service to sign funding deal with U.S. State Department. That's from The Guardian. File that along with all of our other Interpol immunity connections we've covered in the last year. But on around the world, as again, this is all our geopolitical updates, Wyclef Jean shot in the hand in Haiti. He was grazed, and there is a clip you can watch on CNN where they're just interviewing him in the back of the car. Wyclef, of ex of the Fugees, you may recall, was going to run for president in Haiti after their most recent catastrophic environmental event. As I think we tried to note last week, that it seems that the era of Obama is the era of this green scare, the climate control, the coming carbon taxes. All the main events have been enviro disasters, whether it's mining disasters, oil spills, hurricanes, earthquakes, nuclear spills, animal die-offs. Wyclef was going to run for president of Haiti, and we reported that. And then a few weeks later, I believe we reported that he suddenly dropped out due to unnamed threats. Someone like him, and I'm not vouching for the guy, I don't know, he may be connected into things, but probably not. And it's no stretch to say that musicians pretty much are the most influential forces in our modern world. That's why we can't really have folks like Bob Marley or John Lennon. Obama budget to produce $9.5 trillion deficit. More on that from CNBC. Northrop Grumman, $1 billion richer. Zacks.com getting into their latest kickback connection contracts. No bid style, baby. In the military industrial complex. We're lumping in, again, our Obamasiah updates as well. This one perhaps seems like it got lost in the shuffle here as I, again, try and lay everything out to where it rolls out and one leads to two, leads to three, and it all makes sense. But, hey, what are you going to do? Donald Trump apparently has come out as a birther.
You recently said about President Obama, I'm going to quote you, he grew up and nobody knew him. Nobody knows who he is until later in his life. The whole thing is very strange. What are you driving at there? Are you a birther,
well,
Donald?
Okay. Let me just add, I was a really good student at the best school. I'm not like a smart guy, okay? They make these birthers into the worst idiots. Why doesn't he show his birth certificate? I think he's probably...
Have to?
Because I have to and everybody else has to, Whoopi.
I'm sure
why wouldn't he show... Excuse me. Why? No, excuse me. I really believe this birth certificate. Why, look, she's smiling. Why doesn't he show his birth certificate? And you know what? I wish he would, because I think it's a terrible pall that's hanging over him. He should show his birth certificate. The other thing, if you go back to my first grade, my kindergarten, people remember me. Nobody from those early years.
That's not true. There's pictures of them. What are you talking about?
Okay, show me a picture.
There are kids in Hawaii. There are people in his grown up. No,
I haven't seen early pictures. But more importantly, why doesn't he... And you know what? I think he probably was, but the word probably
why
would be...
Why did he have to defend himself against...
You know why?
Against an accusation.
Because if you're going to be the president...
Because if you're going to be the president of the United States,
it says very profoundly that you have to be born in this country.
But did anyone president be the president?
Probably he was. No one has ever asked
George Bush or said to George Bush, "Is Hawaii not part of the United States?"
And I'm not saying I was a fan of George Bush.
No, no.
You know that better than anybody.
But George
Bush was born in this country. That's right.
Isn't Hawaii still part of the United States? Am I gone?
I grew up in New York. Wall Street was a big part. I have seen fraud, and I have seen scandal, and I have seen things that a lot of people don't see. I've seen people take a $100 bill and make it a $1 million bill.
We're going to have to pause. Get to the point.
Okay. The point is, I can't rely on some newspaper that they show
in
that...
In order to become president of the United States, in order to
I want him to show his birth certificate. I want him to show his birth certificate. There's something on that birth certificate that he doesn't like.
Oh, my God.
That's a
I love you too. I think that's the biggest pile of dog mess.
And that goes on, and they all talk over top of each other. And he does make some interesting points, and he makes some other not very well elucidated points. And, of course, because, you know, all our amazing political insights and outbursts come from The View and The Daily Show. We're not going to get into the birther question right now. Only anytime we do bring it up, we always have to kind of remind folks and go back on the record and always mention that the birther thing came from the Democrats. It was Hillary people who didn't want Obama. It was a left issue early on before everybody fell in line behind the Obamasiah like they were told. It was Phil Berg, not Orly Tates and all the other folks going off half-informed. U.S. Army kill team in Afghanistan posed for pictures with murdered civilians. More on that from The Guardian. Daniel Ellsberg got arrested twice last weekend, once surrounding the Iraq-Libya situation, the other for protesting the Bradley Manning WikiLeaks situation. And our final note here, posted on desperate Western military action against Libya has begun with all our other related geopolitical Obamasiah war whore updates. Investigative journalist Jim Tucker has now gone on record to say that the upcoming Bilderberg meeting will take place in Switzerland June 9th through the 12th. Bilderberg.org, if you don't know. We also do have one comment on this post from Hakatai, where they note at 8 o'clock that morning on Saturday on National Public Radio, heard a reporter talk about how the U.S. was in the back seat playing a support role to France. Seems like that evaporated quickly. And it did. We now move to the news purge posted up yesterday, March 21st, or the 24th. 324 News Purge, on the wings of a snow-white dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he have some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a dove.
From 1960, that is the late Ferlin Husky with the track Wings of a Dove. And of course, we just referenced he passed away this past week at the age of 85. And that's what gets us into the News Purge. And we also have a live version of that black and white live TV version of that song where you can check out them doing the snaps and the claps. That are awesome. In telling the story of the week, as I've said many times, sometimes I see the memes, sometimes I don't. It's in putting the show together that I see the connections. And some are what you would call synchromysticism. On the wings of a snow-white dove, we'll begin the News Purge with the drug war updates, with a story from allgov.com and the Los Angeles Times. U.S. paved the way for cocaine traffickers. Literally. What was intended to help improve the infrastructure of a poor developing nation has turned into a convenient means of moving lucrative narcotics towards the United States, and all paid for with American tax dollars. Cutting across northern El Salvador today is a modern multi-lane highway that was constructed as part of a $461 million project sponsored by the Millennium Challenge Corporation, a U.S. government initiative to promote development in other countries. But the roadway, dubbed El Caminito, the little pathway, has become an important drug route for cartels moving cocaine from Colombia to Guatemala and Mexico. The highway turned El Salvador into an important player in Latin America drug ops, now that law enforcement efforts have made it more difficult to ship drugs by sea via speedboats and small submarine-type vessels. According to the State Department, more than 60% of the cocaine that enters the United States now passes through Central America. Wars are funded with drug running. Banks and Wall Street are funded with drug laundered money. That's the story of the elites and the gangster banksters and the multi-generational serial killers. British East India, opium, Vietnam, heroin, Afghanistan, heroin, South America, coke, and it's all conveniently coming into the North American Union. We want to hop to our other related drug war notes. Pennsylvania cavity search produces 50 bags of heroin. You can go to clicktohouston.com to read more about this cavity search. And just a note on the amazing elasticity of the human body. That's all I'll say. We've had multiple cases of children eating marijuana cookies. We had last week kids eating and sniffing cocaine. And now we have an arrest in Minnesota over a mass overdose of teens that killed one.
A Minnesota man suspected of providing a party drug to a group of teenagers has been arrested. Several of the teens overdosed on the drug Wednesday, and one died. Investigators say the 21-year-old suspect is believed to have bought the hallucinogenic drug 2CE, known as Europa. The group took the substance during a spring break gathering at this house. 11 people ranging in age from 16 to 21 were rushed to hospitals. A 19-year-old man in that group died soon afterwards.
It's a growing problem that can have tragic consequences.
Carol Falkowski, a drug abuse strategy officer with the Minnesota Department of Human Services, says the drugs were more common about 10 years ago when rave parties were popular.
There are rogue websites that sell chemicals that are used to get high, and they try to legitimize their websites by saying these are just research chemicals and we just sell them to other researchers.
2CE is chemically similar to drugs regulated as controlled substances, and according to the Drug Enforcement Administration, is not legal to buy online. Most of those sickened have since been released. The suspect is being held on suspicion of third-degree murder. The exact charges are due to be filed Monday by prosecutors.
As tragic as this is, we of course have to note that this is nothing compared to the Big Pharma cartel and its death pile. Our history mystery notes. Rosenberg co-conspirator Sobel reveals more about his role. The New York Times getting into the Rosenberg story. They really were spies. Gosh. Meanwhile, U.S. government demands St. Louis Museum return the stolen mummy mask to Egypt. Again, from allgov.com. Murder and mayhem updates from The Guardian. Amanda Knox asks an Italian court to block Lifetime TV movie. Amanda Knox is on trial in Italy for murdering a roommate. There was a TV movie made for Lifetime here in the States, and she's suing to block its release online. Meanwhile, and more up to date, White Horse of Uffington killings. We have links to the Daily Mail as well as Copycat Effect. First victim found as police hunt for the second body in what looks to possibly be some type of ritual sex assault. Meanwhile, Wisconsin billionaire Kurt Johnson charged with sexual assault. More on that from Caledonia. And a story I mentioned to you now a few months ago and why I included it here again, I don't know, it just pisses me off to even kind of bring it back up. But basically a couple of months ago, I reported on a story under Murder and Mayhem of a guy that I knew who's now in jail and going to go to trial for murdering someone. Oregon man pleads not guilty to murder of a Kent, Washington City employee. Why, again, I mention that, I don't know. It kind of makes me ill, but I feel compelled to keep these things on the record. And doing this show is the story of the week through my own kind of media perception. So there it is. On a very lighter note, again from clicktohouston.com, zombies ahead, warns road sign in South Carolina. And you may recall, friends, going back to January 2009 on Media Monarchy, Sign Hacker broadcasts zombie warning. Now, we still have some West Virginia Worry and Police State International updates to go on this 324 news purge on the wings of a snow white dove. I'll take a moment to remind you, this is episode 211. It's March 25th, 2011. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, coming to you live as always every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, and a huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FROlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com, Radio23.org, TragedyAndHope.com, and all the other sites that spread this word. And we're back to the news purge. Police State International updates. The other big story about AT&T, not the distractionary one, that's just more bad news for sucker consumers. And we'll get to it if we have time, the AT&T T-Mobile story. But the other big story about AT&T from D Magazine as well, threat level, appeals court revives lawsuit against the National Security Agency's surveillance of us, the U.S. Done with the help of AT&T. Sunshine Week Shame, 10 Ways the Government is Opaque. That's also from Threat Level. Business Insider getting into China's electronic censorship. Phones will cut out if you say the word protest. Meanwhile, the Eiffel Tower was evacuated over a suspicious package. But back here in the States, Indiana prosecutor is out after admitting what the alternative media had already shown massive lights on in the past few weeks. He's out after suggesting Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker stage a false flag operation in the union protests. False flag operation is when you perpetrate an attack to be blamed on your political enemies. And it's worked all throughout history. The main success, I believe, of 9/11 truth activism, for lack of a better term, is exposing false flag operations to the world. National Guard to leave Mexico border in June. Surprise, surprise. Meanwhile, Iowa Homeland Stupidity stage a terror drill, or at least they're going to. We'll see if they actually pull it off. Iowa DHS stage terror drill with anti-immigration shooters. That's right, homegrown errorism. If you don't like the New World Order, if you don't like the destruction of your infrastructure and your sovereignty and your civil rights and human rights and your sovereignty, you're going to be painted as an extremist, Tea Party, racist, anti-immigration killer. So, speaking of false flag operations, 13 illegal immigrants arrested in California wearing Marine uniforms.
Forget this. Illegal immigrants crossing the border dressed as U.S. Marines. You heard that right. That is what police found near the Southern California border. William Lajeunesse live in Los Angeles with this incredible story. Good morning, William.
Well, Martha, the 13 illegal immigrants and two Americans smuggling them wore official U.S. Marine uniforms, and they were in driving what appeared to be a U.S. government van with actual U.S. government plates. Now, they were stopped at a border checkpoint on Interstate 8, about 30 miles east of San Diego in an area called Campo. The agent noticed something odd. On the license plate, a zero had been altered to look like an eight. He pulled the van over. All 15 men wore U.S. Marine camouflage dress fatigues and caps, but none had military IDs, and all on their Velcro had name tag Perez. The plates had been stolen from a U.S. Marine Corps base in Yuma a few weeks ago. The van, though registered to a California resident, entered the U.S. a few miles away in Calexico. DHS had reported now that 10 of those Mexican nationals have been deported. Three are being held as witnesses, and they arrested the two U.S. citizens for alien smuggling. The agency would not confirm reports that it confiscated additional military uniforms, the staff sergeant shoulder stripes, and more Velcro name tags. Now, I spoke with the Marine Corps as well as Homeland Security officials. Both say that this is a dangerous development that suggests that drug organizations have really stepped up their game, Martha, and could gain entry to sensitive locations and obviously more successfully move product and people. We don't know where these guys were headed. It's being looked at by the Naval Investigative Service. They're also going to look at, Martha, where did these guys obtain these uniforms? Was it an inside job from maybe the Marine base in Yuma or potentially on the internet? You can buy these uniforms. In this case, they had the desert fatigues and some had the woodland fatigues. Nevertheless, it just says how far these guys will go, not just stealing an ID or a social security card, but actual posing as Marines. Back
Boy,
to you.
That is a disturbing story. William Lajeunesse, thank you very much.
I don't think we've ever seen that before in this part of the world. I mean, that's one way to get in the country, isn't it?
Sure is.
And I put on this Marine uniform.
It's a shame. You can get, you know, things that look that authentic, even on the internet, he's saying.
And along the way, you can trick a lot of people.
No, they're kind of spinning this as that's what it's about. Oh, it's ha-ha-ha. This is just about immigration and trying to sneak in the border because it's so difficult. But we're talking false flags. We're talking inside job, as he said. That's what something like this should make people think of. Maybe they were just part of a drill. Our last bit on this 324 news purge on the wings of a snow white dove is our West Virginia worry from WVGazette.com. FBI Center takes on billion-dollar ID project. The Clarksburg FBI complex is taking part in a billion-dollar project that will enable law enforcement agencies to identify criminals and terrorists by physical characteristics more quickly and accurately. Earlier this month, the FBI Center unveiled its next-generation identification system, which will slowly replace an older system that can no longer handle the volume of fingerprints sent to Clarksburg. It's bigger, better, faster, said Stephen Morris, Deputy Assistant Director at the FBI Center. It increases the capacity and accuracy. Morris spoke Monday at a Charleston Rotary Club luncheon at the Civic Center. The NGI system, built by Lockheed Martin, allows FBI employees to conduct automated fingerprint searches and exchange information with more than 18,000 law enforcement agencies. The FBI's fingerprint examining staff also receive new advanced technology workstations that will help increase accuracy. Under the system, state and local police officers will eventually use handheld devices to scan suspects' fingerprints and send the images electronically to the FBI Center. It's a quick scan to let police officers know if they should let the person go or take them into custody. In later stages, NGI system also will be expanded to include the analysis of palm prints, handwriting, faces, human irises, and voices. Our job is to study those and see how reliable they are for law enforcement. The FBI plans to increase the size of the Clarksburg complex significantly with the opening of a new 350,000-square-foot biometric technology center in 2014. The FBI plans to share that facility with the U.S. Department of Defense. The FBI Center in Clarksburg, West Virginia, which opened in 95, now has about 2,500 full-time workers and another 500 contract employees. The center analyzes and identifies nearly 168,000 fingerprints a day on average. The fingerprints are used to solve investigations, prevent crime, and identify criminals and terrorists. All crime is terror. It makes me very, very sad that some of the only growth opportunities in my home state of West Virginia are working for the Orwellian Stasi snitch system. Minority Report coming soon. Just hope your copy isn't cracked like mine was from Netflix. Meanwhile, Bell, West Virginia police officer charged with domestic battery. More on that from WSAZ. And a few notes on freshman Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. He's going to side with the GOP, breaking with Obama on raising the debt limit. More on that from USA Today and Talk Radio News. Manchin also has a silver alert plan. That would be the amber alert for your granny. And he says it can work nationwide. Connect this to the biometric center, if only figuratively, because we have reported in the past on Media Monarchy the idea of using implantable radio frequency identification chips into Alzheimer's patients. So in case Granny wanders off in an Alzheimer's fit, you can track her down with RFID tags. They're already in all our pets, giving them tumors. Soon they can be in Granny, and soon, of course, they can be in your passport and on your ID. Of course, I have a digital photo for my Oregon ID. Our last note of West Virginia worry brings us back to the world of environmental catastrophes. The Environmental News Charleston section from Examiner.com gets into the stay indoor advisory that was lifted for Kanawha City residents, and there was some fishy odor. Oh, the DuPont plant says, don't worry about it, it'll go away soon. As will everyone else. That's the 324 News Purge on the wings of a snow white dove. As we move to our EconoCrash updates, U.S. approaching insolvency, quote-unquote approaching, and the fix to be, quote-unquote, very painful. From Reuters, the United States is on a fiscal path toward insolvency, and policymakers are at a tipping point, a Federal Reserve official said Tuesday. quote, if we continue down the path on which the fiscal authorities put us, we will become insolvent. The question is when, end quote. Dallas Federal Reserve Bank President Richard Fisher said in a Q&A session after delivering a speech at the University of Frankfurt, the short-term negotiations are very important. I look at this as a tipping point. But he added he was confident in the Americans' ability to take the right decisions and said the country would avoid insolvency. I think we're at the beginning of the process, and it's going to be very painful, he added. Fisher earlier said the U.S. economic recovery is gathering momentum, adding that he personally was extremely vigilant on inflation pressures. Fisher added that the U.S. Federal Reserve had ways to tighten its monetary policy other than interest rates, including by selling treasuries, changing reserves levels, and using time deposits. That'll put us right smack in the fast lane road to recovery, won't it? No. We have our other related econo crash updates. Each area makes me want to go off and just give the quick primer on what the Federal Reserve is and how it's all fiat money printed out of nothing and charged debt, which is why Jesus got pissed and threw the money changers out of the temple. But our related econo crash updates, Supreme Court denies effort to bar details of the big Fed bailout. That's from the New York Times. And that Fed bailout, while yes, was brought to you by Bush, our previous puppet, it was championed and herded through the Congress that won't stand up, that gets walked all over, as we see again and again and again. Barry Satoro, he really did his job selling the bailout. You got to remember that. That's the man commonly referred to as President Obama. Financial Times has a great article called How China Should Rule the World. And we always make reference to reading outlets and sources like the Financial Times and podcasts and videos and publications from the Council on Foreign Relations to see what these kind of mid to low level elites and talking heads, a few steps up the pyramid, certainly several steps up from slaves like you and I. So that link is there, and of course, I always save the PDFs because the Financial Times hide many of their articles, as the New York Times is starting to do and will do more and more as the paywalls start to go up, which makes independent, non-corporate, alternative media that much more important. Detroit sets national record for population loss. Toyota tells U.S. plants prepare to shut down on top of all their other problems with making cars that don't work correctly and kill people. They now can't even get those parts to put those cars together because they were coming from Japan. Meanwhile, is she a senator or congress critter? I'm not sure which. McCaskill, she admits failure to pay taxes on a plane. Let's see you try that. Meanwhile, the creator of the Liberty Dollar, convicted in federal court, again showing you just how skewed and screwed the money system is. Billionaires flourish, inequalities deepen as economies recover. More on that from revoltoftheplebs.com. And our last note on this approaching insolvency econo crash post, Warren Buffett says Japan crisis creates a buying opportunity. Wouldn't you know it? You always got to listen to folks like Buffett and Soros. They're having the crisis of a lifetime. This is their life's work. Check out where Warren Buffett was on the morning of 9/11. But we won't get into that here, because we now reach all our Japan disaster updates from here to eternity. And before we get into it, let's just glance at the breaking news. Second story posted, U.S. nuclear plant costs may soar after Japan quake. detailed close-up aerial videos of the wrecked reactors at Fukushima from Russia today. And let's just go ahead and check it out. I always remind you to run searches on terms you're interested in and then subscribe to those search terms. 2 hours ago from the Oregonian, Japan reactor radiation reaches U.S. Japan's radiation now detected in Oregon. Minuscule Japan radiation reaches Oregon. And we'll reference some of those other things as we now return to our Japan disaster updates from here to eternity on MediaMonarchy.com. Crowdsourcing Japan radiation readings. This from CBS News. On RDTN.org, built by Portland-based Uncorked Studios. Tech in troubled times, if you will. Website crowdsources Japan radiation levels. Meanwhile, our own state, RegisterGuard.com, state website to list daily Oregon radiation levels, but they don't list the website, and I was not able to find it. So, yet again, it's up to independent, alternative outlets to do the work that our supposed leaders are supposedly supposed to do for us. Health officials expect to find radiation from Japan in Portland. So again, this was posted a couple of days ago. That's from OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting. And now we look 2 hours ago. Of course, it was coming here. It's here. We're soaking in it. I'm trying really not to think about it. I noted before, I think on last week's show, I'm not freaking out. I'm not in the bunker with my potassium iodide, but I am eating nori sheets and seaweed and chlorella and spirulina and some of those other things. Study for radiation absorption in American soil also being done by WVU. That's West Virginia University in Morgantown. More on that from examiner.com. Smoke in Japan nuclear plant from reactor. So says officials. And of course, we have more smoke, more explosions, black smoke, evacuations, and Japanese nuclear reactor workers evacuate again.
We just heard from Chief Cabinet Secretary Adano. He was actually speaking about the water issue, but we did get off the phone from TEPCO just minutes ago, and they have confirmed that smoke, grayish, blackish smoke, is rising from Reactor 3. They say something is burning. They just don't know what it is. Of course, this is raising huge alarm at the site. There's been a mass evacuation around Reactor 3, and we believe also that Reactors 1 and 2, there have been evacuations from there as well. Now, Reactor 3 has been a problem for officials, as we know, for the last couple of days. This, of course, is where there was that explosion, the fire, and then the build-up of pressure. And then just a couple of days ago, reactors 2 and 3, there was smoke rising from both of those. Officials earlier today said it was barely visible, that they had the situation under control. And then in the last couple of hours, that grayish-black smoke has been seen rising from the reactor. All the while, Pauline, they've been trying to reconnect power to those 6 reactors. We know that they've got them to the reactors, but they just can't get those pumps working just yet. A lot of that has to do with the damage caused by the tsunami. That salt water has obviously corroded many, many parts. So these workers have been in there. They've been trying to replace those parts and get those pumps working. But obviously, these fires, the smoke that is rising, is just causing so many, many delays.
So a lot of issues there that TEPCO and the government are trying to get a handle on. Meanwhile, residents have to deal with another issue, and that's tap water in Tokyo. What's the latest situation there?
That's an issue, Pauline, that's just come up in the last couple of hours, and that is something that Chief Cabinet Secretary Adano addressed a short time ago. He said that high levels of radiation have been detected in tap water here in Tokyo. Now, we are some 250 kilometres from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, so obviously this is causing real concern. The government officials are telling people, parents, not to allow their children, infants, to have this drinking water, and specifically not to use this tap water in baby formula. So that is what they are saying. The reason being is that iodine levels are much higher. Now, this particular science is measured in becquerels, and it's becquerels per liter, and the limit for children is 100. Well, this is exceeding 210, so that's more than double the limit. So this is why there is that alarm going out. They're asking people to refrain, obviously, from using that tap water. However, they are saying that it's not going to pose an immediate health problem. That would only occur over a long time.
Meanwhile, an article on helium.com, was the Japanese Yakuza the first to deliver aid after the earthquake and tsunami? We also have reports, again from allgov.com, of Japan ignoring the warnings and extending approval for the Fukushima reactor a month before the disaster. Meanwhile, one of the wreckers meant to draw attention for saying outrageous things is, of course, generally successful at it. Ann Coulter says radiation is good for you.
And tonight, Ann Coulter has a new column out today about the nuke situation in Japan, and here she is. The column is entitled A Glowing Report on Radiation. Glowing radiation, very, very good. But you are not down on radiation poisoning.
Well, it's not me. I'm citing a stunning number of physicists. And from the New York Times and the Times of London, there's a growing body of evidence that radiation in excess of what the government says are the minimum amounts you should be exposed to are actually good for you and reduce cases of cancer. The New York Times science section, for example, a few years ago reported on a study from Canada where all these women who had tuberculosis got an inordinate number of chest x-rays. Well, their breast cancer rate was lower than the general population. There were apartments put up in Taiwan in 1993 that accidentally contained an inordinate amount of cobalt-60, a radioactive substance. After 16 years, 10,000 occupants of these buildings being hit with five times what the government says is the minimum amount you should be hit with, the number of cancer cases they had, there were about 10,000 occupants, was only five cases. Now, for the general population in that same age group, a group of 10,000 Taiwanese should have gotten about 170 cases
of cancer. So why, if those things have happened, why isn't the established medical organizations or establishment saying that, you know, some kind of radiation can ward off infections? Why aren't they saying?
Well, they are. They're not getting a lot of media attention for it. This guy, the coolest cat in my column, is this Bernard Cohen at the University of Pittsburgh. He did a study of 90% of the counties in the U.S., and he looked at levels of radon, radioactive substance from the earth, and lung cancer rates. And they were inversely related so dramatically that it couldn't be explained
by cigarette smoke. So some radiation in the body acts as an agent to ward off cancer.
That's what many scientists believe. As the New York Times science section has reported, it doesn't get pressed because...
So by your account, we should all be heading for the nuclear reactor leaking and kind of sunbathing out there in front of...
And we implore folks to try and help get Ann Coulter on a plane to Japan. Naturalnews.com reporting Japanese government admits potassium iodide pills should have been distributed earlier. And as radioactive rain starts to pour, Japan engages in another cover-up as it increases the decontamination threshold 16-fold. More on that from ZeroHedge.com. Fukushima engineer says he covered up flaw at shut reactor. That is from Bloomberg. And Paul Watson getting into what they're covering up at Fukushima. We also have video from CNN. This article is posted on JapanProbe.com where CNN shill Nancy Grace argues with a meteorologist about radiation. Meanwhile, we have a video of the aforementioned rain, Chernobyl-style yellow rain, causing panic in Japan. Radiation level at Fukushima Reactor 2 at highest level recorded so far. Again from ZeroHedge.com. Kyoto News reporting neutron beam observed 13 times at crippled Fukushima nuke plant. Meaning that the amount of things bubbling under the surface are now blasting out neutron beams. Things going on that I can't even wrap my head around. Meanwhile, Apple rejects an iPhone radiation metering app not to meter the radiation coming from Japan, but to meter the radiation coming from your iPhone. Meanwhile, Fukushima radiation spreading to more U.S. states. Gaping holes in info provided by Japan. That's from the Los Angeles Times. And we have a press conference clip for you. The daily press conference that they're giving, and so you're going to hear the translation, and you will hear them say, we are not able to measure the amount of radiation coming from Fukushima.
But right now we want to turn our attention back to Japan, where the daily press conference is going on with the Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edano. Let's listen in to the very latest about nuclear reactor number 3.
The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency made a report with regards to the radiation exposure estimations based on SPEEDY. And the details are going to be announced by the agency themselves, and therefore please do contact the agency if you are interested in a detail information. Now, this is with regards to the atmospheric, the nuclide, and based on the climate conditions, the radiation exposure to thyroid was estimated. And so far, we have been measuring and monitoring the radiation dosage in the unit of microsieverts. And including the site within the nuclear power plant, we have done the measurement, and the results have been announced to you, and also we have gained a lot of data points. However, when it comes to radioactive materials in general in atmosphere, we are now trying to measure it, and then we will see how much of the radioactive materials are actually emitted from the nuclear power plant. We are trying to come up with an estimate for that, and based on the estimation, we would like to furthermore see how and where the radioactive materials are being dispersed, and whether they are actually elevating to the level which is causing human health hazard based on the climate conditions. So this is estimations based on simulation that we run. As I mentioned in the morning conference as well, by using this system, well, we would like to come up with a good estimation. This is instruction that we have given, as I have already reported to you, and as I already mentioned as well, from nuclear power plant, the amount of radioactive materials been emitted. Unfortunately, given the current situation of the planet itself, we are not able to measure the amount of the radioactive materials from the planet itself, and therefore we are sort of calculating back to see as an estimate how much of the radioactive material seems to be estimated to be coming from the plant. That is something that we are trying to work out.
So as I transmit from Major Jim to ground control, the good folks over at ZeroPointRadio.com, over in the chat room right now, as I said, I couldn't wrap my head around this neutron beam. It's radioactive elements. Think of them as electrons aplenty. Each reactor cylinder will emit them like a bullet out of the barrel of a gun, hence a beam-like emission. Why do you think they use heavy water to cool those things? Heavy Watergate, indeed. The most recent update I have posted to Media Monarchy comes from earlier this morning. Reactor number 3 core may be breached. We may be facing a catastrophic situation here. And I have the flashback link to last week's post where we covered pretty much on a 12-hour basis, posting up massive updates, our original story on this growing crisis, now 2 weeks old. Oregon officials say no public health risk from Japan nuclear emergency. So posted below all of that are Japan disaster updates from here to eternity, which of course is a reference to the film with Burt Lancaster and Deborah Kerr, you know, the famous making out on the beach shot in the days leading up to Pearl Harbor. So we connect Hawaii and Japan and World War. It's all in the media and the memes, my friends. Our related BioWars EnviroHealth updates. TheNewsTribune.com asking the question, could quake cause nuclear leak here in the Pacific Northwest? Yes, it could. We have the Umatilla Chemical Weapons Depot. And even if a massive quake does not here in the Pacific Northwest, it doesn't really matter because it's already leaking and it's already an environmental nightmare waiting to happen. But on a positive note, the Oregonian reports on a Southern Oregon company using fast-growing duckweed to generate electricity. In a bizarre story out of Florida, as so many strange things get filed together here under our BioWars and EnviroHealth updates with the environmental earth change events going on and the mass animal die-offs and all of the other somewhat mysterious events. There was a recent Florida earthquake, or was it part of a Department of Defense drill? Well, a geologist said that Florida shaking wasn't an earthquake.
Tonight, investigators are trying to solve a bizarre mystery in Flagler County.
A number of people say they felt the ground shake today. Several people around the Palm Coast area called in to report it. And people in the Daytona North area, as well as in Deltona and as far north as St. Augustine, say they felt it too. Channel 9's Jason Allen is live in Flagler County, and Jason, some worried it was an earthquake.
The emergency management office has been on the phone here all day trying to figure this out. This was not a boom, an audible boom, at least not as described to us, but it was more of an actual shaking, buildings shaking. In fact, a dispatcher here at the county actually felt it happen.
I live alone and I'm blind, and a while ago the house was shaking. Did you happen to know?
I'm not sure. We're actually getting quite a few calls about it now. We're having someone check it out, okay?
That 911 call was one of about a dozen calls that poured into Flagler County about 9:30 Friday morning. An unexplained phenomenon described as everything from a low rumble to a window-shaking movement rattled residents from St. Augustine to Palm Coast.
Ground rumbled and the building rumbled, and definitely abnormal for here.
We found at least two people who have experienced sonic booms and earthquakes from time spent in California.
That's what it felt like. It definitely felt like an earthquake.
Enough to make you look toward the ocean and go, okay, what's next? Tsunami. because you're going, is it an earthquake or not?
The U.S. Geological Survey told Flagler County that sensors in Georgia and Orlando picked up no movement. The National Weather Service reporting nothing odd. The Navy and Coast Guard told Channel 9 they had no information regarding on or offshore bombing exercises.
We are checking with all the agencies that monitor those kind of things, and hopefully we'll come up with an answer, but at this point we're kind of perplexed.
There are a lot of possibilities. The county said everything from a meteor burning off over the area to a moon phase that actually allows ocean waves to hit hard enough to vibrate the entire shoreline. Some of the options being considered right now. Reporting live tonight from Flagler County, Jason Allen, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
That comes from WFTV. Geologist says Florida shaking wasn't an earthquake. There are many, many strange events happening. And Nikolai Tesla, no one really knows who he is anymore, as noted by Jordan Maxwell on a recent Red Ice Radio episode. The technologies are there. Strange things are afoot. Meanwhile, Missouri takes part in earthquake shakeout drill. That's from AuroraAdvertiser.net. But in real life, a 5.8 quake hits Afghan mountain region. More on that from UPI. A 6.8 earthquake rocks Myanmar. More on that from the Los Angeles Times. And here we go. From NBC Bay Area, did scientists use secret Tesla technology to make rain in the desert? Drug-resistant superbug, mostly limited to Southern California nursing homes, health officials say, again from the Los Angeles Times. On the other side of the country, the Katrina hospital deaths trial opens, and the specter of eugenics hangs over it. And another oil spill. Oil spill coats endangered penguins in the South Atlantic. That's from Newser. Meanwhile, oil spill reported near the deep water drilling site in the Gulf. It, no, wasn't from the deep water horizon disaster that brought us last year's Gulf oil spill. And all of these environmental catastrophes, of course, the gift that keeps on giving. The source of the latest Gulf oil spill has been determined. It's the Anglo-Suisse Offshore Partners, a Houston-based energy company. They have claimed responsibility. We also have video of a first responder, and she looks like hell, as she notes and has been documenting on her YouTube channel her deteriorating health rapidly, and notes that thousands of Gulf oil spill cleanup crew are dying. And we have one positive note. I'm not sure where I got this or who sent it to me. And again, all the great submissions and news, I'm just swimming in it. So I'm not able to always post everything up or comment on it, but it's all appreciated. And of course, you can get in touch with me, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. A positive slideshow from the Boston Globe. Their sub-blog called The Big Picture. They have signs of spring, and there are beautiful, amazing, huge photos that give you that moment and remind you that, yes, life is beautiful. But our final note here of BioWars and Viral Health Notes is a bad update, and we file this again under the mass animal die-offs going on ever since seemingly New Year's Day, coinciding with the death of John P. Wheeler III. Our last update posted to this, Japan Disaster Updates from Here to Eternity, hundreds of dead starfish wash up on a beach in Wales, the home of super furry animals. Is it man-made? Are those the reasons of the catastrophe? Or, hey, it's the sun. Or is it the end of the world? The son of Billy Graham thinks the Japan earthquake is just another sign of the second coming.
Now, some Christian authors and pastors claim that recent earthquake activity points to the soon coming of the return of Jesus, that we're living in the last days before the return of Christ. We've had the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, the earthquake in Haiti, Hurricane Katrina, the devastating tsunami in Indonesia. Are folks right to link these natural disasters with end-of-world prophecies?
Well, the disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked him, what are the signs of your second coming or your return? And he told them that there's going to be wars and famines and there's going to be earthquakes, and it would be escalating. It would be like a labor pain. And as a woman gives birth to a child, those labor pains, as they begin, they start intensifying with more frequency. And so maybe this is, I don't know. But regardless, all of us need to be ready to stand before Almighty God, because every one of us one day is going to die. And where do we stand before God? Are our sins forgiven? Are we prepared to meet Him? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes before the Father except through me.
These end-of-world prophecies, you're saying there could be something to them?
There could be. I don't know. But the Bible tells us that we should watch, that we should pray. We need to be vigilant. And no question, the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return someday. And for many of us, we believe that day is sooner than later.
Okay, now Glenn Beck recently said on his program that God is not neutral in these things. What's your take on that?
Well, again, I'm not sure what Glenn Beck was saying or in what context he was saying. I met with him a few weeks ago, and he's certainly a charming guy. But we do know that God made the world. He created each and every one of us. But I don't think we blame God every time there's a disaster or every time there's some calamity in the world. I don't think we blame Him. People like to say, well, why did God allow this or why did God do this? We know that when we read the scriptures that Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee with His disciples in a boat, and a great storm came up, and the storm was so great that the disciples feared for their lives. And Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep. And I believe that there is an evil one. I believe there is a devil. And I think that day the devil was using the weather to try to kill and drown the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus stood up. He rebuked the winds and the waves, and the sea became calm. So every time there's a storm in life, I don't think it's always God behind it.
Okay. Well, Fox's Bill O'Reilly thinks that the media is hyping Japan's nuclear crisis too much. In your view, is O'Reilly right or wrong on this one?
Well, I think no question that when you talk about nuclear, that scares people, okay? And I think you can sell newspapers and you can get your ratings up. And I think Bill O'Reilly certainly has a point. Is there a danger? Yes, there is. Is there as much danger as the media is making it out to be? Well, I'm not sure. I think there may be a lot of hype to it.
Now, you can take that for what it's worth to you, but do make note of the fertility ritual reference he made in the beginning, the birth pangs. We'll hop to foodworldorder.com for our last note related to the Japan crisis situation. World Health Organization understatement. Japan food safety situation serious. From Reuters, the World Health Organization said on Monday that the detection of radiation in food after an earthquake damaged a Japanese nuclear plant was a more serious problem than it had first expected. Quite clearly, it's a serious situation. Peter Cordingley, Manila-based spokesman for WHO's regional office for the Western Pacific, told Reuters in a phone interview, "It's a lot more serious than anybody thought in the early days when we thought that this kind of problem can be limited to 20 to 30 kilometers," he said. Cases of contaminated vegetables, dust, milk, and water are already stoking regional anxieties despite Japanese officials' assurances the levels are not dangerous. Japan's government has prohibited the sale of raw milk from Fukushima Prefecture and spinach from another nearby area. It said more restrictions on food may be announced later on Monday, and surely they have been, but I do not have those updates for you in front of me. That goes on. And again, that's our related note on foodworldorder.com. So we've had and hit related stories on all of our sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom, on Media Monarchy, on Holy Hexes with the Son of Graham there a moment ago, on Food World Order with the World Health Organization there, and now on cyberspacewar.com. Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant damaged by Stuxnet? Did the Stuxnet virus infiltrate the Fukushima plant? The question's getting asked, and rightfully so. Fukushima plant uses Siemens Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Software, SCADA, S-C-A-D-A, which Stuxnet is designed specifically to target. Is Stuxnet implicated in rendering, say, water pumps inoperable? A question recently asked on the Ugly Truth podcast. Stuxnet link is also examined on whatreallyhappened.com. We've covered and uncovered the Stuxnet story over the last several months for you and its connections to U.S. and Israeli and other intelligence operations creating the duplicate, running the tests. And even, yes, in the current issue of Vanity Fair, they get into Stuxnet. So is there a Stuxnet connection to Fukushima? I don't know. Our related update to this posting, though, attack code for SCADA vulnerabilities released online. That is from Threat Level. That's the aforementioned supervisory control and data acquisition software. Coincidence? The other bit on Cyberspace War, Japan disaster, tectonic nuclear warfare. Is California next? Radiation expert Loren Moray states, matter-of-factly, her conviction that California is next. Moray has repeated for years a FEMA announcement on September 10, 2001 that ranks top three disasters likely to befall the United States. Two on the list, a terrorist attack on New York, a hurricane in New Orleans, have transitioned into the realm of fact. Both, according to Moray, were triggered by HAARP. The third is an earthquake in San Francisco near her home in the Bay Area. Japan's Deadly Game of Nuclear Roulette, a 2004 Japan Times article by Loren Moray, appears prophetic in its urgency and is a must-read. We are running short on time, and we will not be able to fully get into that, but again, exploring that angle on Cyberspace War as well. Countdown to Apocalypse 2012, Vivos Underground Doomsday Bunkers. We have reports from NationalTerrorAlert.com and SHTF Plan, and we can even take it just from TerraVivos.com. Doomsday bunker sales surge in the wake of disasters and uncertainty. How much have they surged? Sales have skyrocketed 1,000% of doomsday bunkers.
Japan has sparked fears across the country of radiation, nuclear fallout, or the chance of a disaster coming to the U.S. next. And as a result, these companies that sell doomsday bunkers and underground fallout shelters are seeing sales and inquiries just skyrocket. There's one company called Vivos, which makes huge underground shelters that can fit anywhere from 200 to 950 people. And it has seen reservations rise over 1,000% just in the last week, so since the earthquake hit. The underground bunkers that Vivos creates are made out of concrete and steel and are not what you think of when you think of an ordinary underground fallout shelter. The CEO likened it to a 4-star hotel underground. Pool tables, lounges, everyone gets their own room, a bathroom, there's a kitchen, a bakery, dental facilities, a medical center, a fully stocked wine cellar, pet kennels, and even a prison where you can put people if they start being violent. And why would you need all this crazy stuff in a fallout shelter? Well, because you could be there for a while. The one that they're building right now is in Nebraska, and it's about the size of a Walmart, and it can fit 950 people. You have to pay $25,000 to reserve your spot, whereas the other shelters are $50,000. The companies that I talked to said that they had customers that were really worried that the apocalypse was coming and that this was, that these earthquakes, tsunamis, and violence in the Middle East were all signs that 2012 is going to be a year full of chaos and catastrophes, as the Mayans have predicted. They say that they are in a race against time to finish their shelters by the year 2012. And they are currently building about 5 shelters across the country, and the Nebraska complex, which is their biggest, has just started under construction. But they won't give any details about the exact locations because they want to keep their customers protected, and they think that if anyone finds out about these shelters and where they're located, that they could compromise their safety. And Vivos isn't the only company doing well right now. Plenty of other companies selling similar shelters are seeing their sales soar right now. In times of such uncertainty and when there's chaos all around the world, there are always going to be companies like this profiting from other people's fears.
Yes, there will. Or again, as noted in the chat room over on ZeroPointRadio.com, a wholesale cement coffin to encase yourself in as the ground opens up and drops you into the lava pool below. Or, as my man Nathan here in the studio, who follows me on the air, returning to the situation in Japan, is speaking of melting into the earth. That's what we could be looking at. That's the meltdown situation. So is it Terra Vivos or Subterran Muerte? We also have notes on the new test flights of the X-51A. Again, more great work. We can put a man on the moon, but not on an apartment. More on cyberspacewar.com gets into the Richard Sharp Shaver mystery. It's a primer 101 on this writer who had stories going back in the day to Amazing Stories and Fate magazine and more and more. We also have a post about the world's deepest lake and a March 1st UFO sighting over Siberia. Some locals blamed the event on an alien UFO base said to exist beneath Lake Baikal. And we reach our 324 DEFCON on cyberspacewar.com. We call it the News Purge on Media Monarchy. We call it the DEFCON here on Cyberspace War. Mobile Micro Mystery Messenger. AT&T to purchase T-Mobile for a $39 billion chunk of change as the strangling of the free internet begins. Strike that. Continues. More on that from Activist Post and from Wikinews. And again, we referenced the other story about AT&T, and that would be the appeals court reviving lawsuits against the NSA surveillance of America with the help of the American Telephone and Telegraph Company. Meanwhile, Microsoft and the feds pulled a plug on a spam network. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Facebook traffic mysteriously passed through a Chinese ISP for a few hours on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs programmer gets 8 years in prison for code theft. That's from Threat Level. The New York Times on tracking your Wi-Fi trail at the airport. AllGov getting into the very first tweet and other communication firsts. So speaking of sending a message, Christian Science Monitor reporting on NASA's Messenger spacecraft has now entered orbit around Mercury. Get it? Messenger. Mercury. Chavez says capitalism may have ended life on Mars. That's from Raw Story. And the Red Rocker himself Sammy Hagar notes in his upcoming autobiography that he was abducted by aliens. And you're lucky we are running short on time, because I was all ready to subject you to Van Halen's 1987 hit from 5150, I think that's what it was, first album with Van Hagar. You remember the song Love Walks In? Some kind of alien is taking hold of me. Yeah, there you go. So I subjected it to you just slightly. The last thing I think we're going to have time for, and I was going to make it a point that if I couldn't get to all the other things, which we're now going to have to cut, all the other stories on Holy Hexes and Food World Order, such as the Book of Mormon set to open on Broadway, God Had a Wife, Baptism by Ice, Crucifixes in School, Pop Culture, Prophets, Poles, The Shack, and Sex. And on Food World Order, we have Codex Alimentarius and Food Irradiation, Scares, Shares, Rallies, and Allergies. We've got McDonald's getting into bed with the World Wildlife Fund, and we have ConAgra getting into bed with Al Roker. All of those disgusting stories are going to have to wait for an upcoming episode. Perhaps it'll be the B-side, 211. That remains to be seen. But the main thing I was going to make sure I fit in this episode is another amazing, cutting, brilliant piece from The Onion. Is it satire? Not really in this case. CIA Facebook program dramatically cuts agency's costs.
Congress today reauthorized funding for Facebook, the massive online surveillance program run by the CIA. According to Department of Homeland Security reports, Facebook has replaced almost every other CIA information gathering program since it was launched in 2004.
After years of secretly monitoring the public, we were astounded so many people would willingly publicize where they live, their religious and political views, an alphabetized list of all their friends, personal email addresses, phone numbers, hundreds of photos of themselves, and even status updates about what they were doing moment to moment. It is truly a dream come true for the CIA.
Much of the credit belongs to CIA agent Mark Zuckerberg, who runs the day-to-day Facebook operation for the agency. The decorated agent, codenamed the Overlord, was recently awarded the prestigious Medal of Intelligence Commendation for his work with the Facebook program, which he has called, quote, the single most powerful tool for population control ever created. Among the biggest successes of the Facebook program is Operation Farmville, which the CIA credits with pacifying as many as 85 million people after unemployment rates rose dramatically. Other features, such as the suggested friends window, have been instrumental in allowing government agents to infiltrate deeper into the friend networks of suspected dissidents. For some expert analysis now on the story, let's check in with the Fact Zone's first responders. Jason, you have written extensively about the Facebook program. Why is it so effective?
Well, one of the key reasons is that the CIA has been so thorough in convincing the nation that constantly sharing information about everything that you're doing is somehow desirable instead of deeply unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah. The critics are saying that with the national debt being so high, is this really the time to be spending even more money on spy programs?
Well, actually, the Facebook program saves the CIA money.
That's right.
Like the Maps application, where you list every place that you've been, whether it's at the state or a country. Or...
Oh, right. With the little pins that show where you visited. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
That kind of information would have taken the CIA months of going through hotel receipts and plane tickets to figure it all out. The manpower that Facebook saves is huge.
Absolutely. And the calendar feature even lets the CIA know where you're going to be in advance.
So now if they want to pick you up for questioning, all they have to do is see which events you RSVP'd yes to and then send their agents to be waiting for you.
That's how they got my brother.
That's right.
So effective. Mm-hmm. But guys, with all the focus on the Facebook program, is it taking away from some of the other CIA programs like the Twitter initiative?
The funding for that should be cut entirely.
Right, 400 billion tweets and not one useful bit of data was ever transmitted.
Oh, that's true. Now, is this trend of social network information gathering dangerous? I mean, just last week, the New York Times revealed that Al-Qaeda has designed Foursquare to identify popular locations for bombing.
Actually, Brooke, that's been discredited as any kind of real threat. The people that use that site are people that no one would mind seeing bombed anyway.
So. Yeah, really, the only thing the CIA has to be concerned about is people losing interest in Facebook and moving on to a new social network site, like the Chinese site Wannabe.
I love that.
Are you guys on Wannabe?
Oh my God, it's so much more fun than Facebook.
It is great.
I love that one.
I love that you can earn friend points the more state secrets that you post. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a lot of contacts in the State Department. You know, I think I could really rack them up.
Post them up.
Sure.
All right, first responders, thank you so much, as always. You know, I'm, of course, a big fan of any social networking site. It allows me to interact with my fans without having to see, hear, or smell them.
Oh, more fantastic, cutting, satirical work from The Onion. And, of course, Facebook was set up with capital money from NQTEL, the investment arm of the CIA. And I don't give you any crazy conspiracy links on that story. I just link you to the Guardian story with friends like these. So putting the lie to the fact that nothing important has been put out on Twitter, we want to take a brief blast through our exploding Twitter feed on twitter.com/MediaMonarchy. Some of the things we reference on the show, some of the things, many of the things we have not, such as former U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christophers died at the age of 85. That's from MSNBC. Will Hollywood try to cash in on the Japan disaster? USA Today asking the musical question. Gerald Celente notes, and I believe I kind of stole the line earlier, Obama on the road to Rio with wife and kids, skips town after giving order for bombs away over Libya. Hey, wimpocrats, your man is as bad as Bush. That's Gerald Celente. Radioactive isotope detected in California from Fukushima. That's last Friday. More from Israel news story. Facebook buys first Israeli company. We've got tweets from Webster Tarpley, JimRat73, Joe Rogan, Reuters, Rogue Government, Anti-Oligarch, Aaron Lujan, all the other amazing folks that we're connecting up with. And it's just another tool. If that's where people are, that's where we're going to go to spread this kind of information. My friends, a couple brief news notes just to wrap everything up here. The song we began with last week, The Killing Moon, to be played along with the Supermoon off the album Ocean Rain from Echo and the Bunnymen from 86, when Libyans were our enemies and Chernobyl was happening. They announced just days ago that they are going on tour to play their classic Ocean Rain album in its entirety. So we're tapped in here on the media memes, my friends. Keep an eye out for an upcoming mixtape from Media Monarchy, and also make references in the future of the film The Invasion, the latest installment of the Invasion of the Body Snatcher story, because in the extras, they even get into Morgellons and some of the other things going on in our labs around the country. Lastly, most importantly, our man, James Corbett, is back in Japan, and all our hopes and prayers are with him. He would have never have wanted this much attention, but now he's in the spot, and he's going to give it his all, and we should support him with all our hearts. James Corbett is back in Japan. He's been on InfoWars and the Alex Jones Show a couple of times already. He's doing interviews. Needless to say, the Japanese crisis is going to be his focus on CorbettReport.com with a new episode coming this weekend. And hopefully very, very soon, and even maybe by the time many of you have downloaded this, the new episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com will be available, the weekly series between Media Monarchy and Corbett Report, and we're going to keep it going through the good and bad times, my friends. It's March 25th, 2011. This has been episode 211 from Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.